There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. A loaded show today, as we had tournament games last night, a couple more tonight, and then tomorrow, of course, is your big boy. And in 45 minutes, we'll go outside of college basketball. Nigel Seeley on the program with his best bets in soccer today. That's coming up here on the program. So as of, these play-in games can sometimes, Paulie, be a tough watch. And when you have the 16s versus the 16s, that's what you're going to get most of the time. Although, the point spread was in question last night. The total did go over, but that came in the final moments of the game. I thought it was a pretty decent game. The lead went back and forth a little bit. It was actually the 12-12 game, the late game last night, that was the spot where you wanted to poke your eyeballs out at.
Yeah, troubling. Yeah, that was tough. Between Roger Ayers, I can't believe he got that assignment. Ridiculous. But all the turnovers and the giving away possessions by Wyoming. And people thought maybe Maldonado ran out of gas and he was tired. It appeared that way. But bad job offensively and too many turnovers for Wyoming. And I never thought they were going to win that game in the second half.
No, neither did I. They were sloppy. Maldonado had 7 turnovers, I believe, in the first half alone. They couldn't shoot a lick.
No.
But, Indiana, they play good defense. And here's their reward. So they played the late game last night in the Eastern time zone. They now get to travel all the way to Portland to play tomorrow against St. Mary's. So what is that, a good 4.5-hour flight probably in that ballpark? And they got to pick it up and play already again tomorrow? So have fun with that. That's going to be a blast because St. Mary's will put you through the meat grinder as well. But I would say a decent start overall as I was, I went into this thing in certain matchups, fading the Mountain West Conference, and that's one down now. So that was a good start for me last night.
Well, yes, when in doubt, go with that. Absolutely. So Indiana, we got the cash there. Humans was on them as well. Well, we'll come back with Michigan against Colorado State, and we'll go against Boise, too. At least I will. And then I do like San Diego State's matchup. The first game was, I thought, entertaining back and forth.
Yeah, so did
it,
I.
It was good. I liked the first game, and they made some shots, and that was a lot of fun and a good back and forth. But, tough watch with the late game, and we'll see what transpires tonight. I can't believe it. Remember, Ayers was the guy who was with the controversy a couple years ago.
Right.
Like, back-to-back nights. How do you tee the guy up there? It's a tournament game.
I have no clue.
He's talking to his,
that's
yelling
abysmal.
At his player. Whether what he thought he was on the floor or something.
I don't know.
Lavin was, lost his mind,
yeah,
rightfully so.
Good for Lavin for doing that on
the
air.
Come on. It's a tournament game. And then Ike, you know, just grabbing the rebound and then penalize the flop. Don't reward the flop. These guys have got to stop this. The block charge is one thing.
Yeah.
But you can never reward the flop. And the guy from Indiana drops like he's shot when he just turned.
Well, he did like a double somersault, I thought.
Yeah, Ike didn't even touch him. He just turns to grab the rebound. The guy does this. Oh, charge. Yeah.
It was a very aggressive move off the rebound. But that guy's a big guy, and he's pivoting his body. And the guy goes flying like he's, you know, in Cirque du Soleil. What are we doing here, man?
Right. They beat themselves, but those are just two horrendous calls. And I just, you can't have ref show here.
So I will give you this trend. Play in games featuring seeds number 12 or better, they're now 14-5 to the under last 19. And that was another one. Like you felt really good about that game. And then there was a middle spot with the in-play, because I think the in-play got as low as 111.5 last night.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to come back and try to land it in the middle, and it did.
Yeah.
But that thing was just trending under from the get-go last night.
What do you think of the home court advantage, or we're going to have a lot more fans than you angle? Ton of Indiana fans last night. There should be a ton of Notre Dame fans tonight.
Agreed.
And then not only does Wisconsin get the game in Milwaukee, it's a late game. So they will have plenty of time to drink leading up to the game against Colgate.
I mean, all you could hear last night were the fans on the Indiana side when you were watching the game.
Yeah.
So there's no question that's going to be the same for Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. I mean, that number came all the way down to 7.5 against Colgate. Will that home court actually give them that extra boost to, you know, win the game and get we have so many great numbers on this show today, and just specifically talking about how fade teams would include Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But again, that's going to be a trendy pick.
Why in Milwaukee? Just get it out of there.
I know.
Is America, maybe this is, I'd say it's a positive because we could get them twice, even though a one seed's on deck. Is America ready for Peter Kiss?
No. Well, they have no idea what they're about to watch.
No, they don't.
They have no clue.
This article in the New York Post is incredible. I mean, cocky, arrogant, leads the nation in scoring for Bryant, 25 a game, wears the Kiss T-shirt and warm-ups in the championship game against Wagner, hit a three, blew a Kiss to the coach. He does push-ups after him knocking down shots. If someone fouls him, he'll roll the ball to the defensive player.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is cocky, and he knows he's good.
Put it this way. The New York Post, who did this great story on him, reached out to opposing coaches in their conference.
Yes.
Multiple coaches said, no comment.
Yes! The commissioner of the league! Oh, I don't want to go on the
I don't want to touch it.
I just want to talk about, what kind of his attitude and the villain. Yep. I don't want to talk about it.
No, not me.
Two coaches and the conference commissioner.
How about that?
I don't want to talk.
That's all you need to know.
Yes.
They played in a game with 12 technicals this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And four ejections.
Yeah.
Right.
In the same
game. So in the title game, he hits a three, right? And there was a writer courtside who picked Wagner to beat Bryant in the title game. He hits the three and says to the reporter, quote, and I'm quoting, "That's for you, bitch." Oh, America's not ready for Peter Kiss.
The reporter actually said he flips a switch when he goes on the court.
Yeah, different.
The reporter who Kiss said that to, the reporter said, he's great to my kids.
Yeah. Two-faced. He's a two-faced. He turns it on, right?
When the lights are on.
That's right.
That's when he starts to shine.
This is great. I mean, this will be a lot of fun, and it should be a track meet tonight, too.
Yeah, and they're catching that number of 3.5 now.
Yeah.
I know that there was
There
was a big syndicate group that they were all over Wright State when it was 2. That's the reason why I push it up to where it is right now.
Tough game, but we like Bryant. We've been on Bryant. They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
They can score. They shoot the three, and we love Kiss. The other thing is, Wright State's lucky to be here. They were down 16 in the second half of the title game to come all the way back and beat the Horizon.
They're not bad, though. They're also, I think both these teams might be better than your typical 16
seeds. Oh, absolutely. This should not, Bryant shouldn't be in 16 or in the playing
game. Yeah. That was our observation right out of the gates when we watched Bryant last week. And then they're a dog to Wright State. So, yeah, these teams can play, right? They're pretty decent. So you have those. Well, that game is going on tonight. And then you mentioned the Notre Dame-Rutgers game as well. And other sports stories that took place. How about back-to-back nights in the NBA with a player having 60 points? Kyrie did it. And then also, I would say back-to-back nights where a player scored 32 points in one quarter, followed by Kyrie scoring 41 in the first half last night.
Yeah.
Orlando. What was that?
Wow, the other thing, all the tweets are right. I mean, once you get to a certain point, there should be, you know, we're joking, but there should be a rule where you can't take the guy out. I mean, he could have had 70 easy. There's 8 minutes left in the game.
I know.
And a lot of don't get Kobe's 81. A lot of people didn't want to see that.
Of all the players in the NBA, I would rather have somebody else get Kobe, get 82 other than Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. I mean, that was something. You watched that last night. You say, I don't care what Ben Simmons is like when he comes back. They're going to be tough to beat. But listening to Brian Windhorst, and I agree, how can they be the favorites to win the East when you don't? He can play three games the rest of the year, Kyrie. Three.
Well, who should be favored?
You cannot make them the Bucks. You can't make them the favorites when the guy's going to miss playoff games. And the fact that as it stands right now, they would have to go to Toronto. He can't play. And if they lose, it comes down to one game. One game or your season's over, and you look likely to face Trae Young, and he can't play in that game. So that could be. And they just played the Knicks. They just played the Knicks, and Durant went for 53, and they won by 3 points at home.
I'm going to point this out because the same talk is going on right now in New York with Aaron Judge and the Yankees, and people are adamant by saying the rules will change in New York because they're not going to allow the Yankees to get off to a start without one of their best players on the field. That will not happen.
How long?
I'm listening to people in that area of the country say there's no way that this is going to be a possibility.
What the Nets are doing is going to backfire because the mayor doesn't want to look bad. And now you're putting pressure on them.
There's a ton of pressure right now.
Yeah, and what they did, I think it was Sunday. He comes out in the second quarter. He comes in from the other exit tunnel to walk through and have everyone see him. Didn't get a lot of ovation, by the way. Yeah, but a hell of a performance. God.
By the way, that will tell you how big the Yankees are.
Oh, sure.
If they flip everything on a dime, just so Aaron Judge can be there on like opening day and at the start of the season for that team.
How about back-to-back 60-point games? And the last time it happened, back-to-back nights, it was this. Wilt did it twice.
Yeah.
And Wilt went back-to-back for 60 twice.
Yeah.
Back-to-back nights.
Well, anytime there's something crazy, a stat like that in the NBA, Wilt's like the last guy to do it.
What did Kobe have?
He had a four-game stretch where it was 50 or more every single night.
But he had,
I think he had 60 twice in that stretch.
Against Dallas, he had 61 through three?
Yes,
and
62
Phil,
maybe.
And Phil said, do you want 80? He goes, no, I'll get it another time.
And he did.
Yes. Oh, Kobe. Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He was that run he had?
Come on.
Oh,
there was that stretch of games. What was it like?
Can you imagine now if that happened, what the prop would have been?
Oh, my God.
In the mid-40s. He was scoring like 40 a night for a month.
What was his other stretch? Yeah, it was, I think, was it 12 straight games with 40-plus points? And he was doing it all on the West Coast. So people on the East Coast woke up. Oh, he did it again. Yeah, late night. It was must-watch TV with Kobe on the West Coast.
What a line. You want to get 80? Nah, another
time. I'll
do
it again.
Another time.
Wow.
And he did.
Yeah. The first hour of Follow the Money is brought to you exclusively by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at betrivers.com. So we'll recap more of the betting night that was with a win some, lose some, line moves, upsets, bad beats coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to callsheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callsheet.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet the madness this year, 24/7 streaming, daily best bet emails, our tournament betting guide, advice, data, strategy, $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Sign up today to get the betting guide plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament, April 5th, for only $19. All the experts, Mitch, Paulie, humans, VSiN.com/madness.
You know, Paulie, one good thing about waking up this early to do the show every day, we always have that excuse. It's early. I'm not functioning at 100% quite yet.
Yeah.
49-48 equals 97 points. I think I was saying like 44-43. I was off by 10 points. The math a little rusty here this morning.
I know. I'm picking up
you. You know what I'm
you.
Saying? Though.
I got
you.
I got you. Let's go out to the top soccer handicapper in the world. It's Lady, the Boston Terrier, which is taking the world by storm at Sealy underscore. There we go. Look at that shot. For the first time on Follow the Money. That is great. How old is she?
She's four.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. She's the brains behind the operation. and definitely the looks. She's definitely the beauty of the operation as well.
So that's the first time it's happened? And did she just jump on your lap? Well, you're ready to go?
She jumps. Tries to jump. She sits in the office with me. She tries to jump on my lap every time. It looks a bit strange because I do these podcasts and stuff, and I'm going like this round towards my groin. And I think people are trying to worry. Think what I'm doing. I'm actually pushing the dog down.
It's a bit odd. Yeah, we encountered that during the pandemic when we were doing shows from home, where the dogs wanted to jump up and play, and they don't know what the hell's going on. That's great. At Sealy underscore Nigel on Twitter, by the way. Follow him on Twitter. Does an excellent job. The GOAT at soccer and tennis. Okay, Champions League today, two matches. And, you know, this happened last time you were on the air, right as you came on with the sanctions and all hell breaking loose with Chelsea. Now, how does this affect them? It's not a lot of travel, but how do you think this is going to affect them moving forward?
Well, I mean, the channel from, if you went from London where Chelsea down to the border to go across to France, on the, it's probably about 20 miles And I just saw them set foot on an inflatable dinghy. That's what they've got to do, Chelsea. They've got to get out there on an inflatable dinghy. It's the only way they can afford it. But joking aside, I think that Chelsea is going to be a real big problem when they get through to the quarterfinals and the semifinals, stuff like that, because the distance they're going to have to fly. They're only allowed to spend 20,000 on travel. Now, that might sound like a huge amount, a lot of money, but once they get their flights for 50 of the team, the hotels, it's gonna be a real squeeze for them. It's going to be hard for them. But one team that just keep producing under these circumstances is Chelsea Football Club. They seem to be one of the best sides in the world of dealing with adversity. And you could see already from the way that Tuchel is the manager, the way he's celebrating, the way he's in his press conferences, their attitude is like, we're going to show everyone that we can do this. But I think eventually the restrictions they're going to be under is going to fall hard on them. That they can't sell a ticket. They can't sell their shop, their club shop, their merchandise is sold as well. They can't sell any merchandise. So I think it's going to be really, really, really hard for them. But the fortunate thing for them here is that they're 2-0 up from the first leg against Lille.
Yeah.
Lille up 325 with Bet Rivers. Chelsea are minus 112. I definitely wouldn't bet Chelsea because there's no reason for them to win. They don't have to go out and win. This looks a match for me that Chelsea will just want to get the job done, get into the quarterfinal draw, and then see how we go in a couple of weeks' time. They also have a massive game against Middlesbrough in the FA Cup. And they've already alienated a lot of people because they've asked if that game could be played behind closed doors because they can't sell a ticket, which is really like, it's not ethical. It's not sporting in that they've been sanctioned for a reason. They can't play behind doors. So they've got a lot against them, Chelsea. But I think here, they just want to get the job done. Lille, though, let me word of caution, Lille are the lowest scorers in the French league in the top half. They do not score many goals. All their games are under 2.5 goals. Five of their last six are cashed under 2.5 goals. If you look at Lille as well as a side, I think they're about seventh or eighth in the French league, but the team at the bottom in France have scored more goals than Lille. So their problem lies in goal scoring. I think this is an under game, under 2.5, 1-0 either way, 0-0 potentially here. But Chelsea just get the job done. Chelsea's strength is defensive, and their defence now on the pitch as well as off the pitch. So I think under goals is definitely the way to go.
All right. A fascinating read, too, about how much it actually cost
to travel.
Yeah, when you factor everything in and what Chelsea's up against. Okay, Juventus and Villarreal, take it away. The other match and also two matches in the Prem, one of them involving Liverpool. The door's wide open now with Man City stumbling and having the draw the other day.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a slight squeak for Juventus tonight. I think they're a proven team in these knockout stages. Villarreal are pretty unproven. I thought plus 110, 115 was a decent price for Juventus. Juventus are unbeaten in all competitions since November. So they're on a real good run. They had a very bad start of the season. 10 matches at home, they're unbeaten. I think Juventus will win it. It's a plus 110. It was 1-1 from the first leg. This could be another fiery game. It's a Spanish opposition against Italian opposition, which usually means cards. So when I gave a card angle last week in the Champions League, I certainly think this game could potentially be fiery because there's a lot to play for both sides. And it wouldn't surprise me to see a sending off in the game. So bookings for me and Juventus to win it. So a little parlay maybe on the Champions League, under 2.5 goals and a Juventus win. In the Premier League, Brighton play Tottenham. Brighton are plus 235. Tottenham are plus 118 and a draw is plus 245 at Bet Rivers. Brighton last season didn't win a game of football in February and in March, and they're doing exactly the same this year. They're a side that when they get enough points to keep them safe in the Premier League, they give up. And they look a side that are focused on the end of season, on the beach, looking. It's been a long season. They look a side that are off. If you look at their metrics, you look at their running stats, everything about Brighton looks like a side that are downing tools. They've lost their last five Premier League games. And the concerning thing is they've only scored one in those five games. They haven't won at home all year. But they played Tottenham are so inconsistent. But the one thing Tottenham are very consistent with is scoring goals. With Kane and Son, they've got so many goals in them. They've got some great creative midfield players as well. It's conceding goals is their problem. Tottenham beat Brighton 3-1 in the FA Cup earlier in the season. And they've scored three on the road at Man City where they won 3-2. They scored four at Leeds and they scored two at Manchester United where they lost 3-2. So that extra goal scoring ability gives the edge for me for Tottenham. I think plus 118 Tottenham, they get the job done. And a massive game at the Emirates, Arsenal against Liverpool. Arsenal are bidding for fourth place to get the Champions League spot. Liverpool are on a fantastic winning run, and they now know that if they win every one of their games, they win the title away from Man City because they have to play Man City. Mm-hmm. So Liverpool have really made this a title race now, and they're going to be pumped for this. Liverpool are minus 112. I give them the edge, but not massively. Arsenal have won their last five. They've improved so much under Arteta, defensively strong, and they look really good. But if you look at the head-to-head in this record, I went to the game earlier in the season at the Emirates where they played in the Cup. Liverpool beat them 2-0, and Liverpool were just so much better than Arsenal in every department. Arsenal haven't won in their last seven against Liverpool, and Arsenal haven't scored a goal in their last five against Liverpool. And you have to go back, Arsenal have only won once in their last 18 matches against Liverpool. The Liverpool just have the number over Arsenal. Mm. And you know, when you look back at history, you turn around and say, well, the teams are very different. The teams aren't different for this. The Liverpool side has been pretty much the same side for the last 3 or 4 years, and they're getting better and better. So I think Liverpool will just edge it. I wouldn't be betting them. So I think if you look at the Premier League, you can't go too far wrong with the favourites. I think Tottenham and Liverpool both get their jobs
very
done.
Very sorry. 90 seconds left. One Europa. Well, a minute. One minute left. One Europa. You went 2-0 last week in Europa. How about a Europa selection quickly?
But it wouldn't be the Europa League without talking to you about one team. Red Star, Zvezda, whatever they're called. Have a look out for them. They're at home to Rangers. Rangers, we gave Rangers last week to beat Red Star Belgrade. They won 3-0. But at home in Serbia, in Belgrade, they are a very, very different prospect. They played 20 matches this season at home. They've only lost one. They've only conceded one goal at home in their last eight. And with Rangers having already a 3-goal lead, they're not going to really take too much into this game. I expect Rangers to go with a few changes, a few reserve players. And Rangers have a domestic title race against their arch rival Celtic, who they play on the last day of the season. So Rangers will feel that they've qualified. They don't need to do anything. I expect Red Star Belgrade, our second favourite team on Follow the Money, to get the job done and beat Rangers.
God. Nigel, I got to tell you, man, that analysis today was absolutely superb. Great stuff, my man. Thanks so much for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks very much. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Love the dog.
He's on Twitter, @Sealy_Nigel. And the first hour of Follow the Money is presented exclusively by BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Get a 100% first deposit match bonus now with the code 250MATCH. You must be 21 plus. Offer is not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details and rules. We will get into the NBA up next. David Thorpe is going to join the program. How worried should the 76ers be?
The Sports Betting Network.
Play free hoops for a share of $20,000 this March with the March Hoop Series presented by 5-Hour Energy. Fire up your lineup in 4 free-to-play contests and compete for your share of $5,000 per contest. Head to DraftKings.com/5-Hour Energy now to join the action. 5-Hour Energy. Fire up your lineup, DraftKings.com for details.
All right, Paulie, two more matchups tonight in the play-in games. You have Rutgers taking on Notre Dame. I've heard so many people on this network make the case for Rutgers. KenPom ranks Rutgers 74, Notre Dame 52, in the net 77-53. SOS Rutgers 44, playing in the Big Ten better this year than the ACC. Notre Dame is 70 overall. Offensively, Notre Dame is number 29 in the country, Rutgers 107. And Rutgers defensively is the better team, and I've heard that's the reason why so many people liked Rutgers tonight in this game.
Okay. I don't like how they closed the season. I don't trust their offense. Notre Dame with kind of a home game. You saw how loud the Indiana fans were last night. I like the Irish, and I think the Irish can hit some threes early. And I like the fact with the tournament experience here, and Bray's been in all these tournament games. I think that's going to help them. I think they get an edge. With this is old hat for them. Okay. He's had so many tournament games.
I do not have a bet on this game. I will sit back and watch and enjoy it. I do think if Rutgers wins this game, they can be a tough out in the next round. Because they are a solid squad. Just they struggled and they were, you know, fortunate to get into the tournament.
It's the who cares game, though. I mean, we start, the big boy is Peter Kiss. It's the big boy. And top 10 in tempo, 77 points per game. Bryant finally dancing.
I hope the country is watching tonight.
You got to watch this game. This kid's unbelievable. Talking trash. We referenced the New York Post article earlier in the season, earlier in the show, rather, about talking trash and the alter ego and telling the reporter who picked against him, that's for UB. And two coaches in the league wouldn't comment on the story, and the conference commissioner in the Northeast wouldn't comment on the story. Bombs away, shooting the three. He had 34-6 against Mount St. Mary's. The kid's an assassin, and he loves to talk trash, and the world will get to know Peter Kiss tonight. Let's go, Bryant.
Total's 154. It was 154.5 earlier this morning at DraftKings. That's a high total. I do expect a bunch of points tonight. I don't know if I can go over 154, though. And I would love to see Bryant win this game so we get Bryant in Arizona.
That'd be great.
That's what I want to have happen.
Yep. Be good.
Yeah. So he does. Peter Kiss does, in fact, lead the league, the entire country in scoring, and he wears the Kiss, the band, the T-shirt out during warmups.
Yes.
That really caught your attention.
It. Yeah, he did. So, to me, most overrated band of all time. Because I mentioned earlier from the get-go, it was a gimmick. No one was buying the albums. No one was paying attention. And then they had the great idea of, we're a live band. Let's come out with the Alive album, and then it changed everything. And they're unbelievable live band. Mm-hmm. But I mean, too many lineup changes. The albums are trash, a lot of them. Between the costumes, that's the other. I know Ace Frehley's a prickly pear, but I mean, you take the makeup off, you put it back on, you reunite, you got so many different guitar players, and the changes. To me, it's Kiss number one with a bullet, most overrated band of all time. Got several tweets and emails on this. I never got the Dave Matthews Band stuff. I think that's terrible. I mean, I don't come at me with these.
Set the lights.
Oh. Oh, my God. So I understand they're a pretty good live band, but I don't come at me with any of this with while they sold a ton of albums. That has nothing to do with
it. No, that means
nothing. Which, I mean, it's also an indictment of America with some of these, too. So Dave Matthews Band checking in. I never liked or understood the fascination with Green Day. And to me, they're all pot in the same pot. Green Day, Rancid, Offspring, all that. I never liked Green Day. And they've been very successful, too. But that Dookie album that got them on the map and all that, I never understood the fascination
with Green
Day.
It's funny that you brought up Offspring, because Green Day and Offspring always remind me of each other for whatever reason
there
is.
Sure, I don't get it. And Green Day's been a lot more successful than the Offspring. And I'm like the dude in Big Lebowski. And you want to have if someone needs to ask Alan Bosson about the Eagles sometime. I mean, you look at the Greatest Hits album, it's 10 songs. I mean, what are we talking about? Number one, they did Desperado with that, like a country album, okay?
Trying to show some range, okay.
I really like the history of the Eagles on Showtime, too. But again, Glenn Frey, may he rest in peace. Prickly Pear as well. I mean, he told the story of Life in the Fast Lane. He's on the PCH, and the driver of the vehicle's holding. I don't know if he had ganja or Yale, whatever. And he's like, oh boy, this is risky. We could get pulled over. And he thought of the song Life in the Fast Lane. But that's interesting. But also the issues they had in the group. But that's the other thing. They weren't around that long. From 71 to 80, and then they break up, and then they reunite, and then hell freezes over. But if you look at it, what do you have? One of these nights, Hotel California, Life in the Fast Lane, Take It Easy, Already Gone. They've got a great catalog here, and all these great hits with the Eagles. I am anti-Eagles.
Okay. So am I.
Yep. And absolutely, you too. As I told you, I said, if I ever interviewed Tom Brady, I go, Tom, I'm going right to his face and say, what is the love affair? You got to be kidding me with this. And I did. I interviewed him at the 2007 Super Bowl when they were undefeated and they lost to the Giants, and I led with it. I go, you got to be kidding me, Tom. This U2 is overrated. And, beautiful day. Did you see the performance at halftime? The halftime performance was unbelievable. But that's after War and Joshua Tree, what do you have? Rattle and Hum, not that good. Octung Baby Disaster, that Zaropa pop, all that stuff. Playing to half-empty arenas, backfired on him. Bono thinks he's curing the world. U2 is so, they're on that list as well.
And that's why I have a lot of common bands with you, like the Eagles for sure to me. U2, absolutely. The one word that comes to mind when I think of of U2, pretentious.
Yes.
That's exactly who he is and what that band is. And I don't want to hear your messages every time you're going out there and the world is dying and I'm here to save it and, you know, this politician stinks and all this other stuff. Plus, their music is not that great. I'm sorry. I got news for you.
No, it's just, wait.
Other than the
Joshua Tree's brilliant.
It's fine. Yeah, that's a good one. Yes.
What do you come on.
Overall, from top to bottom, there's not a lot of meat on that bone, in my opinion. They have to be one of the most, for as popular as they became, U2 is absolutely not that good.
Yes.
They are certainly overrated, in my opinion. I qualify this a couple of different ways. Like, when's the last time you were at the house or driving in your car and you said, God, I have a hankering for this band? Or if you're at a barbecue, you know what? Can you fire up some of this band? And I'll get to my, and that's what I'm going to say with my group.
Real quick. It's not fair, but it factors in. You also have radio stations for 20, 30 years that only play the same songs.
Absolutely.
But it also is an indictment of your catalog.
It is.
And that's Kiss. Sure. I mean, Kiss, you nailed it yesterday. You drive around, you only hear is Rock and Roll All Night.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, for years. Go ahead.
So I reached out to a buddy of mine who I trust with music more than anybody I've ever met. He's been playing guitar since he's like 5. He's in a band. He used the phrase to describe one band by telling me, I would be fine never hearing them again. And I thought that was so perfect. Like, of all these bands that I have on my list, I'm fine if I never hear them ever again. U2 would qualify. Pink Floyd.
Oh.
I've been totally fine with turning the channel every time Pink Floyd comes on for the last 20 years of my life.
I took a look at it. It's a great catalog, though. I know, but that's...
Here's the thing.
I took a deep dive yesterday into Pink Floyd. I can't go.
If you're telling me I need to plan my weekend around a 10-hour acid trip to listen to their music, that's a lot of overhead. I can't do that. that's too much to take on. I have not listened to Pink Floyd in 20 years. Every time it's an auto-tune when it comes on the station. I cannot stand their sound. I hate their music.
No!
Hate it. Always have.
Hate it!
AC/DC is another one. They have to be on this list.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? You came up with a hook. And you have the lead guitar player who does the gritty out there on stage when he's playing. What?
He admitted it. I think,
The voice.
Oh, Brian,
I get
John.
It. It's so distinct, right? And you know it's AC/DC. Every song sounds the same. Everything is the same from AC/DC. Go listen to Thunderstruck. They say thunder 100 times to begin the song. Not good. How many times have you heard Shook Me All Night Long in the last 20 years?
Yeah.
10,000? What else do you have to play?
Hell's Bells, Who Made Who? Yeah.
I think they're overrated.
Okay, that's fair.
And this is the band, my buddy. I've gone back and forth on this, but I changed my mind a couple of times. I was always anti-Nirvana. Never got it when I was in high school.
Really?
I'm like, this music is terrible. Smells like Teen Spirit. Why do you like this?
Right place, right guy, right place, right time. A genius. Right place, right time,
right.
Cobain.
You have to give him credit.
Yeah.
For changing music like they did and introducing grunge to the world. Okay. Yeah. MTV Unplugged, he was awesome.
Yes.
That's the best thing they've ever done, in my opinion. But again, that's what my buddy told me yesterday when he said Nirvana absolutely has to be on the list because he said, I would be fine never hearing them again. And that's where I am with Nirvana and all these other bands.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's surprising. Changed music. I mean, but
they're not as good. Like, Soundgarden blows them out of the water. Soundgarden.
They're very good.
I got news for you. Chris Cornell, way better than Kurt Cobain. Chris Cornell is arguably like the voice of our generation.
What do you got against Cobain?
Oh, he was fine. Chris Cornell's top 2%.
Well, I mean, I remember Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue said it. He goes, it's dinosaur music. Everyone's doing the same thing with these hair and glam bands and everything going on. And then here comes Cobain.
Yeah, I know.
And changed everything. But that's...
So you have to respect them. But I never liked their music until I saw MTV Unplugged.
Yeah. And hello, Nesson. Mitch talked me out of Aerosmith.
Yeah, I can't be on the list.
I can't.
Saw them live 10 years ago at the MGM. They were incredible.
Yeah, but then they went through that amazing, crazy, crying phase. And
I know,
Armageddon,
but
and
top to bottom, it's nothing but hits.
Went Nirvana. Whoa, and you put Pink Floyd on.
Got to be on the list.
Wow. Chime in. All right, react to that. Ooh. Eagles, absolutely. Man. Absolutely Eagles. Oh, yeah.
Up next, NBA David Thorpe. How worried should the Sixers be? There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to callshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshi.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
VSEN, the sports betting network.
Get everything you need to bet the madness this year, 24-7 streaming, daily best bet emails, our tournament betting guide, advice, data, strategy, $19. Whether you're filling out a bracket or betting against the spread, we're going to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Sign up today, get the betting guide plus full access to VSEN through the end of the tournament, April 5th, $19, VSEN.com/madness.
The coach, David Thorpe, joins the program now, truehoop.com. He's on Twitter at Coach Thorpe. David, it's always good to talk to you. How are you today?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. Let's begin in the NBA here now. Tough stretch a little bit for the 76ers. And how do you think this is going to play out with the team? Doc said the other night after the loss to Denver when Bones Highland beat them and had a great fourth quarter that he's probably going to like put a minutes restriction limit on Joel Embiid and James Harden, or maybe sit those guys down the stretch. I don't think they would want the one if the Nets are going to be the eight, but how do you think this is going to go, and should they be concerned moving forward?
Oh, I think it's super smart. I actually did not catch him saying that. I heard him saying some things about getting Harden more acclimated to just, you know, be yourself, but I think it's really smart to not overplay them down the stretch. The reality is they're good enough to win everything. They're good enough. They're also bad enough to lose in the first round. And one big factor of that will be how healthy and fresh those two guys feel. So you're better off maybe going down a seed if that's what happens and keeping those guys fresh. And you're also preparing yourself. Remember, they lost to the Raptors a couple years ago when they got destroyed when Embiid was sitting. So you better figure out some strategies and some rotations when Embiid's not playing. In case that happens in the playoffs.
Excellent point. And it's also appears to be a rejuvenated Drummond with the trade.
I thought he did pretty well in Philadelphia. I thought that was, I understand why Daryl Morey traded Andre Drummond. You can't not get James Harden if you're Daryl Morey for a guy that's not even showing up, Ben Simmons, because you want to keep a Drummond. Very smart for Brooklyn to get him.
Yeah.
He's a valuable player. Like we just said, they need help when Embiid's out. And they might play each other in the playoffs, of course. Forget about all the other drama. Drummond watching Embiid every day, playing against him in training camp and practice most days when they did practice. You know, you get the sense he has some kind of feel for what Embiid does. And remember, Drummond's always been really good at getting steals as a big man, which is pretty rare. He's got a good instinct for that, which means he knows how to bother centers. And I think he'll get under Embiid's skin at least a little bit, as he did the first time they played the other night.
Yeah, they take him out by 39 on the road Thursday. And then what Kyrie did yesterday was unbelievable. But I'll ask you, and because Sunday, Durant went for 53, and they beat the Knicks at home by three. As it stands now, if it doesn't get resolved, can the Nets win the East without Kyrie?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so. They, I mean, you see what they're like. I mean, I thought Durant last night, I was so proud of him as a coach and as a father. There's no ego in him when it comes to the games themselves. He has other issues in staying places, but especially Golden State, which was weird to me. But he was so genuinely excited for Kyrie. There was one very good screen he set, which got Kyrie just one bucket, but it was in the second half. Clearly, they were going to win the game. He was still all in on doing what's right for the team. But they need both guys. They probably also need Ben Simmons defensively. They are a team that worries me in how they'll defend without Ben Simmons playing well. It doesn't look great. It doesn't look like Simmons is going to come back. So that's a concern. But they need Kyrie. They probably need him every game. They're not going to win every away game just because Kyrie's playing, that's for sure.
Yeah. You love Scottie Barnes. Do you still think he can win Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, you know, I didn't before. I picked Mobley 1, Barnes 2 in the mock draft, as you know, in my, my prospect evaluation. And nothing has really got me off that all season. I really see them both as equally Hall of Fame-level talents, MVP-level players, Tim Duncan-esque, Scottie Pippen-esque in Barnes' case. But I thought Mobley owned the Rookie of the Year award all year until now, where Cleveland's dropping. Although Mobley had 30 the other night, he's playing well. I thought that, to me, the way Barnes is playing, averaging 18 a game, and I think eight and a half rebounds a game, he's guarding all five positions all the time. He helped shut out Jokic in the fourth quarter of a big win on the road the other day. He's guarding point guards full court and improving defensively despite having that gigantic role, whereas Mobley's role is a little more defined. It's still incredibly difficult to do what Evan Mobley's doing. I think it's silly just to say it's over when you still have more than 10 games left. Let's see how Scottie finishes up.
Interesting. Yeah. And Mobley's a huge favorite, and a lot of people agree with you as well. But the other thing, too, about awards, I mean, how many games are you allowed to miss and still win an award? I mean, look at Defensive Player of the Year. Bam's missed 25 games, and he's the favorite at one spot.
Yeah, I have a rule. It's basically like a 70-30 rule. You got to play. This is just me. I don't have a vote. 70% of the games available, and 30 minutes a game. Like, those are the two things I look at. So for me, I think Bam might need to play almost every game. It's close. Bam might be qualified now. I love Bam Adebayo. If he keeps playing, Marcus Smart needs to be in consideration. He's had an incredible season. They are by far the best defensive team. Right now, especially the last 15 games, they're killing people. I think they're ranked top two overall, depending on what metric you use. And he's really the linchpin. Jaylen Brown's been great on defense. Jason Tatum's been good. Marcus Smart, I think, sets the standard. But I think most voters still are looking more at raw stats and not advanced metrics. And Rudy Gobert's been great. Draymond has been unbelievable. He just won't play enough games. So I lean on Bam or Smart as one of those two guys I think should win it.
Yeah, because I was looking last night because I have Jaren Jackson, and a lot of us do, and we talked to you about him and this award in the past, Coach, on very long odds to win this award. He's played in 69 games, Robert Williams 56, Giannis 58, Bam 45, Gobert 53. So I don't know if that difference would actually make, you know, where voters are going to look at that and say, well, look, Jaren played in 80 games this year, and Giannis played in 68. So that means, that's so confusing to me because I think you have to look at the guy who's played that many more games and has better numbers overall with the standard numbers and say, yeah, he might deserve the award.
Oh, Giannis is in there. I mean, he's one of the best defenders in the world. I agree with you. Like I said, to me, so you know, 57, 58 games, an 82-game season, to me, is a qualifier. That's why I think Bam has got to keep playing to qualify as I would do it. But, you know, the mistake people make, guys, is we look at statistics like blocks and steals, and not the overall metric. Remember, it's not five games of one-on-one. It's one game of five-on-five. And so what you do to set an identity for your team and how you help on pick and roll, how you help weak side, how you rotate out, how you shut your own man down, how you help the helper, these are all things coaches notice. Marcus Smart is elite of elite at all those things. And Bam is too, He just hasn't played quite enough games just yet. That's why I like those two guys the most, because they've done the most as we look at the metrics that we use to evaluate defense.
As you watch some college basketball as well, and we've had this discussion before, but if you want to maybe expand on this a little bit here, when you watch coaches and how they overcoach at this level, why do you think that is?
Oh, I think they feel like their AD needs a show. And the ADs just, in most cases, aren't smart enough to realize they're just, it's a dog and pony show for them. They should be evaluating on character of a man or woman. I'd be great for a woman to head coach a men's team in college. I would love that. How's the team performing? How are they doing in school? How they handle themselves in the culture of the school as well as the team? Not how hysterical these guys get, screaming at referees. And, you know, the cameras are doing a lot of close-ups. And I saw the guy from Wyoming last night just treating the referees so disdainfully. It really bothers me. And they're all over the place. They're yelling every little thing. I prefer, my son plays for a guy that I prefer, who coaches as an adult. And you've done your job in practice if they know what they're doing in a game. If you're screaming and yelling all the time during a game, well, what have you been doing in practice every day? I don't love that. I don't love the show. And I think it detracts from what the players are doing. And I can tell you, the players don't love it either. You can coach them hard. I definitely coach my guys hard throughout my career, but not to the point that we're seeing these college guys do. I think they should be a lot more level-headed. Keep an eye out for a guy named John Gross. He's the head coach at Akron. They're in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He took Ohio U to the Sweet 16 in 2012. He's a fantastic coach. And he's very active in trying to make sure they run their plays, but he doesn't scream and yell at the referees. He doesn't scream and yell at his players. I think that guy has a chance to be a very good NBA coach.
What's coming up on TrueHoop.com?
Talking about college, I'm doing a little breakdown of the guys I've seen so far. Of course, the top three in Holmgren, Jabari Smith, and Paolo from Duke. I've seen those guys on TV. I've watched them a bunch on film. And I've also just caught different guys throughout the season. Kofi Coburn, the big kid from Illinois, amazingly to me, is getting no love as a draft pick. I don't understand. To me, he's basically a scoring version of Steven Adams, who has been a very positive plus-minus guy for every team since his third year in the league. And for some reason, teams don't think Kofi can help an NBA team, at least via draft pick. The kid from Iowa, Keegan Murray, is really good. Jaden Ivey from Purdue, I've watched him live as well as on tape. Super, super explosive player. So I'm doing a little rundown of those guys and then trying to remind viewers that what you're seeing now is their most competitive. How are they doing all year long matters too. And that's why a lot of executives don't even go to the NCAA tournament, because they've seen enough during the year when there wasn't as big a stakes going on for every day in practice or a game.
Very cool. Read all that coming up at TrueHoop.com and follow him on Twitter. He is at Coach Thorpe. Thank you for the time today. Enjoy the NBA tonight and the tournament. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Be safe.
Thanks, Coach.
There you go. Up next, Johnny Avella is going to join the show from DraftKings. What was that like on Sunday? Selection Sunday. All these matchups are coming out. You're making numbers on that. And then, oops, Tom Brady's coming back? What? Are you serious?
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCast designed to tackle sports betting from a local perspective in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. Back to the brackets and the madness. Jeff Borzello, ESPN, joins us now, college basketball insider. And we'll get to the brackets, picks, upsets, sleepers, but also a Chelsea supporter. And they got the big match tonight in the Champions League. How concerned are you moving forward with this Chelsea news and what could happen?
I'm concerned. I'm not concerned about the short-term future. I think they're going to win tonight. But, I mean, every day there's a new story coming out about how low on funds they are, how fast they need to change owners. So, the medium term, I'm a little bit concerned. I don't want them to – if they go bankrupt, they lose 9 points in the Premier League, and so that would be devastating. But, in terms of actual matches on the field, I feel pretty confident they're going to beat Lille tonight, and I think they're going to finish third in the Premier League. And then after that, it's entirely up in the air.
Yeah, talk about an unknown. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, every day it seems the situation changes with new bidders and new owners and things like that. So I know final bids are due tomorrow, reportedly. So I'm waiting to see which group wins.
Okay, so as Paulie said, you cover college basketball for ESPN, ESPN.com. I want to ask you about like a bunch of small schools that you might like early. For example, you went to Delaware. They get the 15 seed. They're taking on Villanova, the 2 in their region. Do you like their chances at all to keep it close and maybe make it interesting down the stretch?
I think they'll keep it close for about 25 minutes. I don't think that they have the horses to win that game. You know, they caught fire at the right time. They weren't playing well down the stretch. You know, they lost 3 in a row to end the regular season, and they got hot and they won. I just don't think, you know, I think Villanova is just too experienced, and you know, they're going to overwhelm Delaware in the final 10 minutes of the game. But I think it'll be close for about 25 minutes. And so I think the line when I checked was 14.5.
Yep.
So I do think Delaware will cover. I just don't think they have a great chance to actually win the game.
Okay. How about some, just based on matchups now, looking at some of these smaller schools, like around the, you know, 13, 14, maybe a 12 seed. I don't, well, 12s always beat 5s, obviously. But you think that just based on the matchup, they could actually win the game in advance to the second round?
There's two that I really like, both 13 seeds. South Dakota State over Providence. It seems like a fairly popular pick because nobody seems to actually believe in Providence. But, I mean, South Dakota State, they haven't lost since December 15th. They're the nation's longest winning streak entering the tournament. And they're an unbelievable shooting team. Baylor Shireman's going to be the best NBA prospect on the floor. He's good enough to carry them. They have 4 or 5 guys on the floor at all times that can shoot. And I just think that's the type of team that can get hot in a one game sample and knock off Providence, which we know that Providence is going to play a close game. That's just what they do. And I just feel pretty comfortable thinking that South Dakota State will make enough shots down the stretch. I mean, this is a team that shot 46% from 3 and 60% from 2 in league play. They're just playing unbelievably offensively right now. So I think they're going to win that one. And I think Chattanooga is my other, I guess, you know, quote unquote, big upset pick over Illinois, also a 13 seed over a 4. To me, Illinois just kind of, I don't know what it is. I can't really put my finger on it. They just haven't really figured it out, I don't think. You know, Andre Curbelo hasn't been the player that we thought he'd be this season. Trent Frazier and Alphonso Plummer can get hot, but they can also kind of have those 2-for-10, 3-for-8 type of games where they're missing shots. And I just think that Chattanooga, they have the guards to match up with Illinois' backcourt. And then they have legitimate size. They're not a mid-major that's going to be playing a 6'6", 6'7 guy at the center spot. They have Silvio D'Souza, who started his career at Kansas, was a 5-star recruit. I think he'll be able to at least battle with Kofi Coburn down low. So I like Chattanooga there. In terms of 12 over 5s, I actually don't like a lot of any of the 12 over 5s. I know Vermont is probably a popular one. Vermont's a popular 13 over 4. I don't like that one. I talked to a few America East coaches yesterday for a piece that's supposed to run on ESPN today. And they said if Vermont controls the tempo, they'll have a chance against Arkansas. But if Arkansas makes it a speed athleticism type of game, they'll get worn down. And that's kind of what Arkansas does. You know, they're switchable. They can switch all 5 guys. You know, it's a little bit hectic and haphazard in terms of offensively and the way they scramble to force turnovers and things like that. So I feel pretty comfortable thinking Arkansas is going to beat Vermont. And then, like I said, I don't really like any of the 12s over 5s. I think the closest one I would pick would be Indiana over St. Mary's. That's not really a mid-major. But I think that 13s over 4s provide a little bit more value in this year's bracket. Mm.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Who wins that battle of tempo between Vermont, 288th in the country, Arkansas, 28th? I find that game absolutely fascinating. How about an 8-9 matchup? Do you have any opinion at all, strong one way or the other, on this Boise State-Memphis game? Of course, the storylines here would be Leon Rice. If they would win the game, he would take on his former, you know, his mentor in Mark Few and Gonzaga in the second round. But if it's Gonzaga and Memphis with their talent, could the Zags possibly be in some trouble in round number 2?
Well, I'll tell you that NBA scouts are on their knees praying that Memphis wins this game. They want to see a Chet Holmgren, Jalen Duren matchup in round 2. Now, I think that will happen. I think Memphis will beat Boise State. But I do think people are kind of overlooking the fact that Boise State won the regular season, won the conference tournament. I think they were underseeded by probably 2 lines. And they're just unbelievable defensively. And Memphis, we've seen, you know, down the stretch they improve, but we've seen them kind of go through long stretches offensively where they just look, they get bogged down. They look kind of confused about what they want to do. They don't know who's, you know, who should be taking shots and where people should be on the floor. And so Boise State, if they can make this kind of a half-court game and force Memphis to shoot from the perimeter and force them to go against a set defense where they you know, we've seen for 2-3 years now, Memphis turns it over when they have to go against a set half-court defense. I think Boise State could beat Memphis. I do have Memphis winning just because of that talent, and I think that we're going to see a very intriguing Memphis-Gonzaga matchup where we're going to see if Chet Holmgren, who struggled against length and athleticism in the non-conference, if he has kind of figured out how to beat a team that will come at him with a ton of guys, you know, Josh Minot and Jalen Duren, just guys. And Penny Hardaway can throw a lot of athletes at Chet Holmgren and that Gonzaga team. So I think that would be a fascinating second-round game.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jeff Borzello covers college basketball for ESPN, talking March Madness in the tournament with him. What about this? Now, lately, maybe on this network more than anywhere else, though, and we talk gambling here, obviously, Jeff, I've heard a lot of people say that Purdue's going to blow out Yale. And I watched that Yale-Princeton Ivy League championship game. It was pretty good over the weekend. Yale likes to get up and down as well, 86th overall in tempo. Purdue doesn't play a lot of defense. Do you think Yale keeps it close here, like you talked about Delaware against Villanova, and then Purdue pulls away later? How do you think this game goes?
I mean, we haven't really seen Purdue blow anybody out in maybe more than a month. Their defense is just horrific. And for that reason, I think Yale can keep it close. And, I mean, James Jones has coached in the tournament before. He's had, you know, he's coached in several tournament games. He knows what to expect. And I just don't see Purdue being able to blow anybody out. I mean, their last, I think, 6-7 wins, or at least 7 of the last 8 wins have been by single digits. And that's against teams, you know, like Maryland and Northwestern and things like that, who are not very good. And so I don't see this one being a blowout. I can't really buy into Purdue right now. I did about 2 months ago, but I can't get on their bandwagon right now. Their defense is just too poor. And I don't think it's a talent thing. I just think it's an effort thing. I just think a lot of those guys just have not really bought into, you know, playing 40 minutes of defense. And for that reason, I think you have to keep this within single digits.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that Kansas got like the easiest draw or the easiest region like most everybody else? I look at that and I'm like, if they don't get Iowa somehow in the Sweet 16, who's going to really challenge them?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think it's the easiest region, but I have Iowa getting to the Final Four. So I guess from that sense, I don't think they have the easiest region, but I agree with you. If outside of that Iowa game, I mean, I think they probably have the worst 2 seed in Auburn. I think they probably have the worst 3 seed in Wisconsin. The 4 seed, I already said that I think South Dakota State's going to beat Providence. So you go down the 2-3-4s, I think they have the easiest road in that sense. But I do think Iowa's going to be able to knock them out in the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if they do get past Iowa, I think, you know, against Auburn or Wisconsin or whoever, Neely Dave, they'll have the easiest matchup of any 1 seed.
You can follow Jeff on Twitter, at Jeff Borzello. Read him at ESPN.com. Does a great job with college basketball. Jeff, thanks so much. Enjoy the tournament.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great job.
You bet.
So I see both sides on that game, but as I said earlier, Yale played Seton Hall, St. Mary's, and Auburn. Average margin, 28 points. Got routed in all three. They also lost to Vermont, too. But a lot of this will also come down to who dictates tempo.
Good tweet from Tripp, who reminded us that Bryant going tonight, they lost to Houston 111-44 earlier this year. Team total over. If Bryant wins tonight on Arizona in round 2, that makes a lot of sense. I could see Arizona getting to 100 on Bryant.
Oh, okay.
If you can find first half team total over, Bryant's not going to slow it down. They'll run with Arizona. And that could be, you know, a blitzkrieg, all hell breaks loose kind of game.
Blitzkrieg.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Good. First Bet wants you to get in all the horse racing action. Sign up today with the promo code Vegas1000 and receive $10 instantly. And up to a $1,000 bonus. Visit vsin.com/horses for details. And you can use the bonus code Vegas1000. Our bets, what we have coming up for the tournament in pocket plays next here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to callshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.